Very good afternoon to you, Namibia and the world. And thank you for tuning in to Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you're now listening to On The Radar, your trusted source for informed updates, critical insights, and unpacked developments from across Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, this isn't just about headlines. On The Radar is a space for deep, meaningful engagement where we interrogate the stories shaping our country. We ask the hard questions, revisit past coverage, and connect the dots using archived audio, expert opinion, and sharp analysis. From major policy decisions to grassroots realities, we bring you the full picture. Our interviews are long form and in-depth because some stories deserve more than sound bites. Now we come prepared with facts, the context, and your questions so that every conversation takes us closer to understanding what truly lies beneath. Remember, On The Radar is available across our Eagle FM and national radio frequencies, Eagle FM website, and also Eagle FM the Eagle FM app. Also do subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for real-time updates, interview highlights, and exclusive clips. Don't forget to follow us on Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook to stay informed and to stay engaged. So stay with us, and as we step beyond the surface, this is On The Radar, where Namibia comes to think and interrogate matters that need to be interrogated. First off, on our agenda today, the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy has announced that from the 1st of June to 24 June 2025, the average price of petrol 95 increased by 7.8%, that is to $84.47 per barrel. Now, meanwhile, diesel 50 ppm saw a rise of 9.5% to $85.50, and diesel 10 ppm rose by 9.7%, that is to $84.84. Now, despite this increases, the value of the Namibian dollar against the US dollar has slightly reduced import cost, with the average exchange rate during this period being 17 Namibian dollars and 85 cents per US dollar. The ministry also stated that at Walvis Bay, fuel prices remain at 20 Namibian dollars and 37 cents per liter for petrol 95 and 19 Namibian dollars and 92 cents for diesel 50 ppm, while for diesel 10 ppm, it will remain at 20 Namibian dollars and 2 cents. Now, prices in other towns will also remain the same. Let's now hear from Anna Sakeus.
The Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy has completed its review to inform the fuel price for July 2025 and hereby notifies the public of its decision. A combination of international factors contributed to the volatility of oil prices. These include a sharp rise in crude oil prices driven by geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, particularly the conflict between Israel and Iran, as well as extended OPEC supply cuts that further tightened global supply. Freight and shipping costs also increased due to tanker shortages and the rerouting of vessels around conflict zones. Additionally, delays in shipments and longer waiting times at ports added to the overall cost. These factors led to higher import parity prices, resulting in under-recoveries that negatively affected pump prices. According to the ministry's recent calculations, the average price of petrol 95 for the period 1 June 2025 to 24 June 2025 was $84 per barrel, representing a 7.8% increase compared to the full month average price of $78 recorded in May 2025. For diesel 50 ppm, the average price during the same period was $85 per barrel, reflecting a 9.5% increase from the May average of $78 per barrel, while diesel 10 ppm was $85 per barrel, indicating a 9.7% increase from the May average of $78 per barrel. The strengthening of the Namibia dollar against the US dollar slightly reduced the import cost of fuel. From the 1st to the 24th of June 2025, the average exchange rate was 17 Namibia dollars and 85 cents per US dollar, reflecting a 1.5% appreciation compared to the full month average of 18 Namibia dollars and 12 cents recorded in May 2025. Based on these results, the fuel price model or the fuel price pricing model recorded under recoveries of minus 53 cents per liter for petrol, minus 59 cents per liter for diesel 50 ppm, and minus 53 cents per liter for diesel 10 ppm. Despite the under-recoveries recorded, the ministry has decided to provide relief to consumers by keeping fuel prices for all products unchanged until the next review. Accordingly, the pump prices at Walvis Bay will remain as follows. Petrol 95 will remain 20 Namibia dollars and 37 cents per liter. Diesel 50 ppm will remain at 19 Namibia dollars and 92 cents per liter, and diesel 10 ppm will remain at 20 Namibia dollars per liter. The National Energy Fund will absorb the full cost of the under recoveries on behalf of consumers. The ministry is closely monitoring developments in the global oil market. The current environment remains highly volatile, while persistent geopolitical tensions and rising international oil prices placing continued pressure on domestic fuel pricing. The ministry remains committed to maintaining price stability while safeguarding the interests of the consumers.
Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. Remember, we're just getting started at the very embryo of this analysis today. Now, we'll see you after this commercial break.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. As Namibia continues its efforts toward inclusive development, the integration of people with disabilities into the mainstream economy remains a critical priority. Stakeholders from government, civil society, and the private sector are increasingly recognizing the untapped potential within the disability community and the importance of creating equitable economic opportunities. Now, despite progressive legislation such as the National Disability Council Act and the Namibia's ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, many people with disabilities continue to face barriers in accessing formal employment, education, entrepreneurship opportunities, and financial services. Now, during the recent National Disability Week of 2025, Deputy Minister Emma Kantema Gomez emphasized the need to move beyond charity models and embrace economic empowerment as a tool for social justice. We must ensure that persons with disability are not only seen but included meaningfully in our country's growth and development, she pointed out. Advocates argue that disability-inclusive economic development must include accessible workplaces and adaptive technologies, skills development and vocational training tailored for people with disabilities, inclusive hiring policies across both public and private sectors, support for entrepreneurs with disabilities through grants, mentorship, and access to market. Small and medium-sized enterprises, also known as SMEs, led by persons with disabilities, are already making significant contributions to local economies. Yet, they often lack access to capital and visibility. Experts say targeted support and inclusive procurement policies could make a substantial difference as Namibia seeks to diversify its economy and reduce unemployment. Disability inclusion is no longer optional. It is essential. An exclusive economy not only upholds human rights, but also unlocks innovation, resilience, and diverse perspectives that can drive sustainable development. Now, with that being said, we caught up with Program Manager for Education at Side by Side Intervention Center, Lithin Smith, to speak about where exactly we need to start. Is it a grassroots level to ensure that people with disabilities are incorporated within mainstream economy? Good afternoon, Lithin Smith, and welcome to On the Reading News Bulletin.
Hi, Happy. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, really. Smith, how important is early education in preparing children with disabilities for future participation in the mainstream economy?
Well, I would say we often underestimate the importance of early education, because if a person with disability, or any person for that matter, don't learn at an early age how to participate in society, how to become socially acceptable, how to learn skills at an early age, how will they learn it later on in life? So those early years is really a foundation for life going forward. And often we don't understand that if the foundation doesn't exist, you can't build on it. So it's such an important aspect of future success for people with disability, for anyone for that matter.
Yeah.
Early years is a foundation, and if the foundation is not laid, it's hard to build on something that doesn't exist.
Sure. Now, do you believe current school criteria in Namibia are inclusive enough to cater to children with different types of disabilities?
So I would say we have wonderful policies, but often we see that the lack of implementation. So we don't have enough schools to start off. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough schools that cater for specific needs. And I would say we don't understand all the different needs of disability. Every disability is different, and everyone with a disability has a different need. And often we try to cater for the mass and not for really what every person needs to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have enough schools to cater for people with disability. And I think, yes, we have resource schools, which is great, but it's not inclusive. It's catering for something. And we often forget that once a student leaves the resource school, what's next for them? So are we tracing back some of the careers to say what would a person need to go into a specific career and then build that pathway? Or do we just try to do what we can with what we have, which is great, but if it doesn't lead to economic participation later on in life, then we haven't really gained what we need to gain. We didn't really do what we needed to do.
What action should be done, or what should be put into work, not just from the government, but of course also from the government and from society itself and private sectors? What is it that needs to be done collectively to ensure that children with disabilities and people with disabilities are actually the capacity capacitated to be able to actually participate or partake in mainstream economy? Because I know oftentimes we look down on those people with disabilities, but sometimes they have the right skills if they get the right training. So what's the action that you would say we need to put into work?
Yeah, I would say we should normalize disability, because in Namibia, I think it's still really stigmatized, and the understanding of the disability, different disabilities doesn't really exist. So to really go back and do that, and I know that's not something practical, but I think practically we should go back and really see what are the different pathways we can build for people with different disabilities. For instance, if you have an intellectual disability, which kind of jobs can you really do, and how can we build it back from early years to really train you and groom you, I would almost like to say, to go into these different jobs one day. I think we should really make the links back from jobs to what training we need, what schooling we need, what we need in the early years to really achieve that. And oftentimes, yeah, we have great rules of inclusion and equity in employment, mm-hmm. but it's easy to employ someone that has one less finger. And I don't say that is not a disability. Mm. We have people with multiple and severe disabilities that's often just moving back in the line. So we should value everyone and don't feel afraid to go into what you don't know. So yes, we want all of our Namibians want to abide by the rules and include people, but oftentimes we don't want to do our work as to what really is needed to ensure equal or fair inclusion. And I think we really also need to rely on professionals to guide us. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful occupational therapists in Namibia through the University Medical Campus at UNAM, and they could really do a lot in the employment area, in economy, to help us ensure that people with disabilities really can contribute economically and are happy in workspaces and are accepted and adapted to really produce and feel included. Because inclusion is not just bringing someone to the party, but it's also ensuring they feel valued, they have what they need, and they can deliver to the demand.
Mm. Now, for you as a program manager for education at Side by Side Intervention Center, do you guys do career guidance for them as well? Because I do like that point that you actually highlight out there. Some are capable of this and some are capable of that. And for some of them, they have severe cases that there are certain things that they just can't do. Is there something that is also looked at to say, let's do career guidance for them to see what she or he will be able to thrive in and thrive better at?
Yes. So what we do at Side by Side is, obviously we have different kinds of disabilities, from physical to intellectual to sensorial, different kinds of disabilities. And we never try to put any of our students in a box. Mm-hmm. So we try to push education as far as possible, because a lot of our learners can achieve grade 1, can achieve grade 2 if they have intellectual disabilities, or they can do more than you think if they cannot use their limbs. They can still write with their mouth, or they can type. I mean, technology is amazing these days, and we can learn so much and use it so much more to really achieve great things. Everyone can achieve great things with the correct assistive technology. But we also look at the ability of the learner and the interest of the learner, because maybe you are interested in something way different than we try to teach you or push you in the line into. And if you don't have the interest in that line, you will never be passionate about what you do. Mm. So we should remember everyone still have a personality, and they have abilities, and they have dreams, and they have interests, and to really connect the dots to ensure there's a future. So at Side by Side, our focus is not really the career ending, mm-hmm. but we really try to see at the moment how we can guide our learners once they finish the program with us into the next step, because that's often also the case. After a program is completed, the learner just drop out because there's nothing further, there's nothing more. After resource school, there's no university opportunity, or there's no You can't enroll in any courses or any diploma. So to really make sure there's something after the center that they can enroll in or do, so that they don't just go home and now wait for something. Because oftentimes that's what's happening with all the youth in Namibia. So even the more so for people with disabilities.
Mm. Yeah. And what about parents, those or caretakers themselves? Because for some of them, it's something completely new and they don't even know where to start. Perhaps should we also include parents in the intervention, you know, in early intervention and how to actually help them? And of course, if a child goes home and has perhaps maybe a little bit of homework, how actually should a parent guide them, or how should a parent actually help them with that physical activity that they need to do? Is that something that you guys also advocate for?
Yes. So as I said, that is one of the main programs that we run is parental support, because we really understand that without support from the family, without understanding from the family, a person with disability will have it difficult in life. So that's really one of the big programs we are running at Side by Side, is to ensure that the family understand the disability, the family has the support they need. We train family members, we train caregivers, we have the various family support programs to really ensure that at home, every learner get the support they need, they have the understanding from the family, from the community, because it takes a village to raise a child, mm-hmm. and again, so much more when it comes to disability.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Smith, what is it that you would want to see when we talk about inclusion of people with disabilities? What is it that your goal that you wish everybody else had an understanding of and gets hands on to contribute to the inclusion of people with disabilities, whether it's for employers, fellow co-workers, employees with people with disabilities? What is that which is your goal?
I think for us to lose our preconceptions and our own ideas, and to really be vulnerable and open to learn from people with disabilities, to engage with them, to give them a chance to prove themselves. I think oftentimes we decide you can do 1, 2, and 3, or you are not worthy of 1, 2, or 3, or you are extra work because of 1, 2, or 3. But if you lose that and you really become vulnerable in the process and you open yourself up, you will end up learning from this person with a disability more than you would ever think you would, and really value them. I think oftentimes we don't value people with disability as we value ourselves, or we value those without disability.
Yeah.
And I think if we really value people equally, and if we really give them that fair chance in life would look a whole lot different for people with disability. I'm a mother to a child with a disability, so I'm also talking from that perspective. And I know that it's in everyday life, you hear people feel they are not qualified enough to give you a specific service, or they don't know about this or that disability to really help you. And I think it's so easy to get that information and to include. If we are just more open to include in everyday life, the lives of people with disability would look a whole lot different.
Indeed. Everything, Smith, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin and sharing your input with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And on this post right here, and take a trip to the marketplace. Now remember, this is the bulletin where we take what is happening and not just announce it, but also interrogate it and get the analysis from the people that would have a better understanding of it, to come and actually open up our minds and open up our understanding for us to understand better on what is happening on ground and what needs to happen. Now with that being said, let's post right here. Now remember, you can also partake right here by sharing your opinions and contributions, or perhaps asking questions, or perhaps also giving some contributions to say perhaps you could do this next time. Now the number in studio is 083-288-401. We'll see you after the commercial break.
Great news! Input just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price.
The best just got better. Bharti's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second starting from just 500 Namibian dollars, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Bharti's offices to find out more, or go to bharti.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
Everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. We also caught up with economist Joseph Shehammer to hear on his contribution right on this topic that we're talking about, in terms of people with disabilities and their contributions to mainstream economy. Now, Joseph Shehammer is a professional banker and independent economic and business researcher. Let's take a listen.
Good afternoon, economist Joseph Kefas Shehammer, and welcome to On the Radar.
Yes, good afternoon, Ahedwin, and I hope that you are fine.
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
So today we're talking about people with disabilities and their contribution to mainstream economy. Joseph Kefas Shehammer, I think you're the right person to actually answer this question. Would you say people with disabilities contribute fairly, or with a on a larger proportion to the mainstream economy?
Currently, let me just be honest currently it is not. So there are various reasons why I'm saying that people with disabilities, they are not actually contributing to the economy of this country for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
So and let me just give you, for instance, the total population of Namibia. We talk about 3,092,000 population, and the last data or research or survey. So people with disabilities, they are plus minus 108. That's almost like less than 10% of the total population. So, and when we look at the capacity, of people who are employed, in Namibia, we talk about more than 500,000, of which only 12,500 people with disabilities, are employed. And also, I'm not sure that, what kind of work that they are actually doing. And now we talk about 2.3 people with disabilities are employed in Namibia. So out of the 546, is that fair? And also the other thing is that, will that make a meaningful contribution to the economy of this country? That is the question that one has to ask.
Mm. What is it that you would say needs to be done so that people with disabilities are included within Namibia's or in contribution to Namibia's economy? What particular angles need to be tackled to ensure that that actually happens?
It is straightforward. One can say you see, if you want to develop somebody, or if you want to include someone or to integrate someone into the formal economy, so you need to train this person. So, without proper training, for people with disabilities, forget about them, because companies, they need somebody who's trained, they need somebody who acquire certain qualifications.
Mm.
Let me give you an example, for instance, in commerce region. So, there were 284 people with disabilities according to this, the latest data. So only 30 out of the 284 persons with disabilities we have like a certificate, a diploma, a degree. We talk about 30 people out of 284. And I don't want even to mention about the Kunene region.
Mm.
The Kunene region, which is actual 1.3%. So now, if you want to integrate these people into economy, so is that 1.3 or 30 out of 284 people with disabilities have degrees? So that is unfair,
yeah,
to be honest, toward the people with disabilities. And really, a mind shift is needed yesterday.
Mm. Chairman?
Yes.
Of course, the government does some awareness in regards to inclusivity of people with disabilities. I want to find out from your perspective, do you think that we, the government and other stakeholders involved, should continue to advocate for inclusivity, or it's now time for practical work to actually develop workshops whereby people with disabilities can benefit from?
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Since 2005, so there was a representative for people with disabilities. Somebody that will represent people with disabilities in the capacity or in the power or who can influence the government was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
So to run the affair of people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So, but as we speak, from there, we only heard about the words that look, we want the policy need to be reformed, inclusivity, you know, a lot of theories, but we never see action.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, when you have this kind of theories or words and so on, it become a habit, and it's like whenever there's a disabilities awareness, so then the people they will start this kind of we are excluded, discrimination and so on. True, but the bottom line is that who is going to run that the agenda?
Mm.
So it is not the responsibility of the government. It is not the responsibility of the business community. It is the responsibility of those people that has been appointed to run the affair of the people with disabilities.
Mm.
Yes. And now, if we are irrelevant or invisible, so people, the business communities and the government will see that, okay, everything is fine. Because we are not making noise. So, and that is why we, including myself, we all, the people with disabilities, we fail ourselves. So because we never stood up and the person that need to advocate, the interest of disabilities, we just made this thing in the aircon, and where we have, people with disabilities in a different, region who are suffering. But
yeah,
because I'm here in Windhoek, I feel good. But what about the child in Katin? It will represent true. But what all the people deserve? But
yeah,
because I'm here in Windhoek, I feel good. But what about the child in Katima, the child in Karas, the child in Hangwena region, for instance,
yeah,
Oshkoto? So really, it needs a serious mind shift.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to employment, as for those people, some of the people with disabilities says that a clause is often attached to it to say people with disabilities are encouraged to apply. But then when they do apply, they're never even considered for a call up for an interview. What exactly is it that you would say to employers who are actually skeptical and afraid to employ somebody with disability?
This is actually the lab service that, of a beautiful slogan. It is always written on underneath italic and is bold and attract attention of the people. So it's pointless to have that kind of slogan that yes, people with disabilities, they are encouraged to apply. But coming to the selection, so you forgot about that. And I can tell you today what is very important is that I said the business community they must be a mind shift. And also what they need to understand is that focus on what a person with disability can do.
Yeah.
Rather than on what they cannot do.
Uh-huh.
You see, yeah. So you can't make, and that is what, you see, what is needed here is a mind shift. So, they feel that, okay, because you are disabled, so you can't do anything. They feel that, okay, we are sorry for you. We don't want your story. Give us the job. And I will do the job. I don't want you for me to feel sorry because I'm disabled.
Yeah.
No, that is not what I want. So you don't judge me. Don't judge me. Give me the work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I cannot do it, then obvious now, then you can decide and say, okay, you cannot perform these duties and so on. But train me also. Empower me. Don't just give me a way that I give you opportunity, but you cannot do, but you never train me. Give me that opportunity and empower me. And that is the bottom line.
Yeah.
So that is a thing that we need to, our people. And also, it is the duty of all Namibians to look after the interests of people with disabilities. We look up to them and we want, and we love them so dearly and we respect them, but we want also them not to feel sorry for us, but to also respect us and also to give us that opportunity and employ us if they can.
Okay. Joseph Sharma, yeah. I do appreciate those pointers that you really pointed out. It is the responsibility of every Namibian. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And yeah, we hope to engage you again soon enough on other topics right here on the radar.
Thank you so much, Effie.
Okay.
Let's also pause right now here and we'll be back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe bali hea hii nola natu heari bali no heari ineko derewa hora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church event.
You Save shelves are stocked with a variety of produce, all at prices that won't empty your wallet. 10 kilos top score super maize meal, 119.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms marathon white sugar, 98.99 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilos Bokomo fed cooked flour, 39.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr soup, just 5.99 per packet. 2 liters Right Brand sunflower oil, only 68.99 Namibian dollars. You Save, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Hi.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah.
This is Happy Juju calling you from Eagle FM on the Radio News Bulletin. You are currently live on radio.
On what?
You are live on A.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who am I speaking to?
Given.
Given. You are the lucky winner of the ShopRite You Save $500 competition, gift voucher competition.
Oh.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Given, where are you from? Which part of Namibia are you from?
Cape Mansorp.
Oh, you're looking from Cape Mansorp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
I feel so good, you know. I feel so good.
That is good. Mm-hmm. How many times did you partake in the competition?
This is my first time, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those who also want to be a winner next time for this competition?
Excuse?
What would you like to say to those who are hoping to also be a winner for this $500 gift voucher?
Oh, they must just keep trying, you know.
Yeah?
They must try their luck, you know.
Okay. Mm. We'll surely contact you up. Thank you, Given. And congratulations again.
Okay.
And there you had it. Given from Ketman Shop is the lucky winner for Fridays. This Friday's 500 ShopRite You Saved gift voucher competition. Now, should you also want to partake, please do make sure that you send that text message so that who knows, perhaps next time you are the lucky winner.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back, and now we resume with our analysis after the story. Are people with disabilities making contributions or even any or enough contributions to mainstream economy? And of course, I also caught up with Franz Senengela to have his opinion on this particular topic that we are actually digesting and breaking it down to actually understand and get to the core root of it. What is it exactly that we need to be done, if they need something to be done, and how soon it needs to be done, and what it is that needs to be done? As you know, Franz Senengela is the station manager and radio journalist right here at Eagle FM or Eagle Media House. Let's take a listen to his contributions.
Good afternoon, Frans Senengela, and welcome to On the Radar.
Good afternoon.
Senengela, today we're talking about people with disabilities in mainstream economy. How are actually people with disabilities contributing, or are they even contributing to the economy? And where are we going wrong? What is it that we're not doing to ensure that people with disabilities also contribute to the economy?
Well, there is a big margin. Mm-hmm. In terms of participation, if you look at people with disabilities versus, you know, people without disabilities, there is a big margin. But over the years, it has been improving here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially the... Now, when we talk about mainstream economy, it is a very vast, a thing to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of us just want to talk about employment. When it comes to employment, quite a number of people with disabilities are employed. And then it ends there.
Mm.
Yeah, but then for them to really participate in the mainstream economy, that requires capacity. You know, that is it requires a process of capacity building,
mm-hmm.
which in many cases, you know, is very much lacking, and that's a very challenge that we are facing in Namibia as far as this is concerned.
Mm. Now, with capacity building, where is it that we should start? Is it, and where would you say, where would you identify that there is a need? Is it at grassroots level, or is it perhaps at tertiary level?
Well, look, most people celebrate and they think when a blind person has completed tertiary education and is a teacher now, they think that is a miracle. That's not a miracle.
Mm.
That must be something that must be expected.
Mm-hmm.
People with disability are not special, that whenever they do something and they achieve something, should be... We always jump and say it's a miracle. It's not a miracle. We must expect that.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we need to start capacity building from the grassroots, mm-hmm. and if up to tertiary education, because somebody can complete tertiary education, but that does not mean they are productive. And for somebody to be productive,
mm-hmm.
that person must have been capacitated in that area.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, specifications of what, you know, what is required on the ground practically.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many people with disabilities that have completed, you know, tertiary education, but they can't be employed, mm-hmm. because they don't have capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have capacity. They have the qualification, yes, but they don't have the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So and the same when we're not talking about capacity, we are not even talking about people with disabilities alone. There are people without disabilities that are coming out of universities and they can't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because for you to work, that requires another different approach in terms of how you prepare yourself. So it's about and when it comes to work is practical.
True.
Yeah. So that process of capacitating, people with disability is what is lacking, and even people with disability themselves do not have time for capacity. They have more time for advocacy,
mm.
which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Advocating for their rights, you know, and that's what people with disability enjoy the most.
Mm.
You know, they like these phrases like inclusivity, equity. Those phrases are political phrases. And they don't contribute anything in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the corporate world is about profit. And you can't make profit if you're not productive.
Mm.
And you cannot be productive if you don't have capacity. So that's how we come and we say, what is important right now is not advocating for the rights of the people with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
It's about getting them capacitated.
Mm.
Like, instead of coming up with a workshop on the rights of people with disabilities,
uh-huh.
why don't we come up with workshops on to give them capacity in terms of skills
uh-huh.
that are practically needed for them to be part of the economy in a mainstream way.
That's a very good point that you make there, Franz Senengela. And for a very long time, truly, we are focusing on inclusivity and inclusivity. And inclusivity is a very broad term also that could mean many different things or being included in so many different things. But now in terms of trying to capacitate them, personally talking to people with disabilities, what message would you rather say to them? What is it that they should try themselves to get themselves into? They get to knock on so many doors looking for employment, and so many of them have been shut to them. But then for somebody who actually wants to get the experience, wants to get the knowledge before they actually knock and say, give me a job, where would you say they should start?
I think it should be self-education, self-upskilling, self-reskilling.
Mm.
You see, in 2005, I was rejected by the College of Art because I wanted to do music. And what I decided to do was, let me get like a small music instrument and teach myself. And then, luckily enough, we started to have the world of YouTube, where, you know, there are, you know, online stuff that are put there for free. I download all those videos and listen and go along. And you see, today, one of my skills is to produce music.
Yeah.
And and when it comes to technology, you know, my own school history is embarrassing because I didn't have the opportunity to correct myself academically.
Yeah.
Because one, our academic world at that time was very much confused. We didn't have enough, you know, materials and so forth, technology to further, and even those who passed didn't really go far.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, our parents didn't really believe in, you know, our reskilling that we are able to do one when given opportunities. We are able to be, you know, to capacitate ourselves and be productive. They didn't believe that,
mm.
and therefore there was no funds available for me to further my study.
But yeah.
despite that, I have, you know, made myself available to say, look, there are many ways one can be taught. And you can have the practical experience of what you cannot have the theoretical experience of. So, and you see, thanks to, you know, to Eagle FM.
Yeah.
Today I'm the only radio journalist that is blind in mm-hmm. in the whole Namibia,
mm-hmm.
and that does not come by sympathy or by John Walenga's sympathy. It comes by the opportunity that one is accorded, and then given the opportunity, and and you prove yourself. If I could have proven myself that I was not able, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have existed for 6 years in Eagle FM. Mm. That comes by the chance that you are given an opportunity.
Yeah.
And the opportunities is not for the job, but it is for the opportunity to transform yourself from a raw material that you are into a finished product that is able to be used to be productive.
Yeah.
So, and this is the practical thing that, you know, people with disabilities will need. It's not really about advocating for rights and inclusivity or whatever those things we say.
Yeah.
It's about capacity, and the opportunity should be available for people to have the capacity to be productive, and they are actively, you know, participating in the mainstream economy. Otherwise, we'll be crying for, you know, people will be activists forever. mm-hmm. and it will not change any course mm-hmm. because you need to prove yourself in this world. It's a ruthless world. You need to prove yourself for somebody to, you know, to be able to come in and say, okay, I am going to assist to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if we just get employed just because we are people with disabilities, we deserve to be employed, then I think that becomes unfair to companies that should employ people with disabilities, because you are bringing a problem instead of progress mm. to that company.
Mm-hmm. Now, for parents who want their children with disabilities or adults with disabilities to actually get the capacity that they need in order for them to contribute to the economy and in order for them to actually to have a job that they are passionate about and they are contributing effectively, where would you say they should go? I mean, considering the fact that some of these things are not yet in place, to say there's a particular place there that, how should I put this word? To say there's a particular place there that actually accommodates people with disabilities to give them training in terms of maybe entrepreneurship or give them the skills to do this and that. Now, where would you say they should take their children?
Well, that's a very challenging question, because that type of capacity building process does not exist in Namibia anyway.
Yeah.
But you see, for me, I went to the University of Me. So, and I discovered that, wait a minute, it didn't end in my parents' lack of support. It will end on my lack of self-capacitation.
Mm.
And I realized that earlier, and that's where I started to make sure that whatever. And you see, that's why I like radio very well, because everything that I know today, I was taught by radio. I will sit on radio and listen to programs, and one person will say something that will drive me to say, wait a minute, let me try this. I taught myself computers.
Mm-hmm.
I taught myself, you know, softwares and all that. So that comes from self, you know, self capacitating, and most people with disabilities are not really taught to be self aware. They are taught to be aware of their rights, and that's a deviation. It's a diversion to reality. You see, in reality, in the real world, it's about you and what you are able to do.
Yeah.
But in a political world, it's about your rights. So, now, let's say you are employed in Eagle FM because you have a right to be here. That's of course, privilege, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a right to be here. That's good. But are you productive enough to be here? That's a question that we need to answer ourselves. Mm-hmm. That when we are talking about employment for people with disabilities, are they productive enough to be employed? Are they employable? Now, of course, many people will be angry with me of not being sympathetic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sympathetic with myself. There is no way I can be sympathetic with anybody else, because I push myself to do what natural law say I can't. So I have no time to fight for my rights. I have time to work. And make sure that whatever work I'm doing is productive enough.
Yeah.
So now we will be people that will be employed in offices, and people will not know what to do with us. They are afraid of firing us because of media backlash and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But we may not be productive. So how do we become productive? Number one is when we are self-aware. That who am I?
Yeah.
And what do I want to become? What is my future all about? Is this what can I do? So, and in as much as Eagle FM, you know, called the blind guy from the north to come and work in Windhoek,
yeah,
it was also up to the blind guy to make sure that he was productive.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he was just going to be a problem. And you see, I have been here for 6 years without any special equipment, without any special, you know, attention. We are all working as a team here.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about me being blind here. So we are working. We are colleagues.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we need to get people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the type of workshops that the government or any other stakeholders should push for, not workshops on advocacy, advocating for people with disabilities, right? I think that has been enough for now.
Mm.
What we are supposed to do is, how do we capacitate these people so that they are productive? Now, a person with disabilities is like a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Now, you bring a piece of wood here at a workshop, and you cut it and you make a table out of it. Or you make, you make a chair out of that piece of wood. But then, does this piece of wood, when you look at it, does it have the quality of becoming a chair?
Huh?
Or a furniture? What can be made out of this piece of wood? Or is it a firewood?
Senegala, is it every person with disability that can go into any type of work? I mean, even when we talk about people without disabilities, it's not everything that one person can do. Is there also a problem perhaps in identifying their skills and their talent?
That problem should not be anyone's problem. That should be their problem. It should be a person with disabilities problem of mm-hmm. identify what they are able to do. It shouldn't be a company's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a government problem. It shouldn't be the parent's problem. It should be the person with disability himself.
Mm.
Let him identify what he's able to do. That's what I'm saying. He should know himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, if you don't know what you're able to do, what do you think the next person will do, what will be able to do with you?
Mm.
That's why people get abused, because the purpose for their existence is not known.
And therefore it's not input into action.
Exactly. Because when you don't know the purpose of your existence, what do you expect the next person to do?
I hear you.
So just like I'm saying, treat a person with disability like a piece of wood. When you look at it, does it have the value to become a furniture, or is it a piece of firewood?
Mm-hmm. And even with furniture, you still have to differentiate whether it's a table, a chair, or a bed.
Exactly.
Mm.
Is it a furniture? What piece of wood is this? What type of tree was it hewn from?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have the capacity to become a furniture, or it has capacity to become a firewood?
Okay. Senegala, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the radar.
Thank you very much.
Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace when we do retain. We'll be bringing you what's making headlines in regards to news beyond the borders of Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now we take you to news beyond the borders. We're starting off regionally, then we move over to continental news, thereafter international news. Now in South Africa, drug abuse crisis has deepened in Mpumalanga.
Namhlanje 16 June leze ngime alisho lutho ngokuthi ngiyabhema into enkulu ukubhema kimi.
This video of a young man at Kwamhlanga went viral over a week ago during the Youth Month celebrations televised by SABC News. He's one of the thousands battling drug addiction around the country. Factors that make drug users vulnerable vary.
Mamaka bazan tsaro sona le bana ba bang. Ke be ke understand. Ke ke bona kare mntu a se motswedi a ka. Tsedi mo tsedi lo. Gore ke tsene. Yope. Ke tsene ke ke di tama ho. Bona ana thata. Ke bona kare o a se motswedi a ka. Ka tshwaro e ba ntshwara ka yona. O ka se o betha ngwana. Mpete ka garatsa. O nroba di se khantle.
His cry for help hasn't fallen on deaf ears, and thanks to non-governmental organizations, help is at hand.
SAPC, itlemo kaba kalalaka khamgo ke ba thintileng ka teng e ke gopela thuso le nna ke ipuditse mo phelong ba ke tenne ke bo phelo ba strata state sa ro riepele rahwa.
A sentiment shared by another drug user.
It's going to be a life-changing journey for us because into ebekudala siyidinga kandebele into esiyidingako isizwe sakandebele silahlekile because of ama-drugs. So ngokwenza i-event le nisivula amehlo nisinikelani ne-hope yokuthi kusesenabantu ebasithandako ngaphandle.
While those selling drugs are making a killing, it's costly for families dealing with the consequences of drug abuse.
The problem of drug abuse in Mpumalanga, especially or with reference to Thembisilehani local municipality, it's very bad. We have a huge number of youngsters that are using drugs, and most of them, they are doing Bluetooth. They're injecting themselves, which contributes towards a high number of new HIV infections that is going viral lately.
While the drug problem keeps rising, some of those who believe there's still hope. Mulimone Mutha, SABC News, Kwamhlanga.
Now let's cross over to Zimbabwe, whereby Zimbabwe expects bumper maize harvest.
Davidson Gambinga is drying out the last of his maize crop before delivering it to the state-run grain market in Poland. His output is a huge contrast to the meager harvest he realized last year when an El Nino-induced drought wiped out most of his crop. Zimbabwe has bounced back from a series of disastrous seasons emphatically. Authorities project a 2.7 million ton maize harvest, well above the annual demand of 2.2 million. This comes at a time when farmers are now turning their attention to the other grains in which Zimbabwe has made significant strides in growing. Wheat.
Maybe around 8.
I am expecting at least 8 tons per hectare. It's going to be a good harvest because I got all the inputs, including seed and fertilizer, on time. We are not experiencing power outages, so the irrigation is going on well.
The government has made a deliberate effort to ramp up wheat production as it sees the cereal becoming a strategic crop for both food security and foreign currency generation through exports. Self-sufficiency targets have been exceeded in recent years on the back of increased financing by private contractors who now contribute the bulk of funding for the crop. 120,000 hectares of land are planned to be put under the crop this season.
This is in order to ensure that, first and foremost, local industry is supplied with its requirement of local wheat, which is circa 270,000 tons on an annual basis, and that there is enough wheat that is put back into the strategic grain reserve in order to sort of basically ensure that the country has a food locker for bad years. Because the minister's plan is that our food security is going to be wheat-based.
This year, Zimbabwe is aiming to produce 600,000 tons of wheat, its highest ever harvest. Farai Mwakutuya, CGTN, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Now, in a one-on-one interview with CGTN's Mozambique ambassador to China, Maria Gustava, she praised the friendship between the two countries.
Meanwhile, Zambia's mining royalties surge to $70 million.
President Hakainde Hichilema today met chief executive officers of banks and other financial institutions in the country to discuss issues affecting the economy. During the meeting at State House in Osaka, the head of state noted that Zambia is now earning $70 million from mineral royalties from the mines compared to the past when she earned $15 million. The president added that some mines, such as First Quantum Minerals, are currently the largest taxpayers in the country, contrary to assertions by some sections of society that government has given away tax revenue in the sector. President Hichilema has since reiterated the significant contribution of the mining sector to the country's economic recovery.
Single largest taxpayer in this country is First Quantum. Contrary to what my colleagues in the opposition say, that this country, this government, has given away revenue from the mines. Not at all. We changed from a simple dividend to a loyalty model. And just to give you an idea, as government before our time, we used to earn somewhere in the region of $8 to $15 million from First Quantum. Once we changed that model, we're now earning in the north of $70 million. Impact on the treasury income, and the business is growing. As you will see, in 1.5 months from now, I'll be officially launching the S3, which will increase the processing of the metal in consumption. There is more work for you around there, and we are happy when we're talking to First Quantum, their projects. We're happy to engage with yourselves as one team. How can we help each other?
The president has also called on the banking sector to help the country manage its residual debt restructuring with Chinese businesses.
And help us here, help us to manage our issues on the residual debt restructuring with Chinese businesses. You know them better. Because if we conclude those, it means that we create more headroom. It's good for everybody.
The head of state has also called for support to sectors such as energy and agriculture.
So, but now the energy forms in electricity, in the fuel side as well. So now we have reforms in the agriculture sector, irrigation agriculture. We expect support from yourselves, deliberately. NHS to help us improve two things. One, overall production, rain or no rain. If we irrigate, we'll produce. Two, helping us to improve productivity because you are supporting precision irrigation investments. You are supporting mechanization. Two things. It will give us food security, Chair, but more than that, higher productivity. More importantly, contribution to growth, growth and more growth.
You spoke about the role that we each have on this growth journey that we are on as a country. And truly so, we have noted the growth. We've noted that there are various parameters that have really improved, even just from a last 5 years perspective.
Ronia Sakala, Zenith News, at State House, Lusaka.
In other news, Shell denies reports that the energy giant is in talks to take
a meeting of minds. Public and private sector leaders came together in Lusaka to exchange ideas.
British oil giant Shell on Thursday denied media reports that it is in talks to buy rival BP. With a market value of $80 billion, the British oil giant has been making headlines lately, partly due to its underperformance. However, market analysts have said that a possible acquisition of the British company would be unusual, given the current regulatory environment's heightened scrutiny of large mergers. BP has also struggled to recover from the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster, which killed 17 workers and forced the company to pay billions of dollars for environmental damage in the Gulf of Mexico.
South Africa remains Namibia's biggest bilateral trade.
Supreme Leader says Iran would strike back if attacked.
Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, in his first televised remarks since a ceasefire was reached between Iran and Israel, said his country would respond to any future U.S. attack by striking American military bases in the Middle East. The 86-year-old leader claimed victory after 12 days of war, culminating in an Iranian attack on the largest U.S. base in the region, located in Qatar, after the United States joined Israeli strikes on Iran.
The Islamic Republic delivered a hard slap to the face of America. It attacked one of America's key bases in the region, Al Udeid Air Base, and inflicted damage.
Speaking from an undisclosed indoor location, he promised that Iran would not surrender despite calls from U.S. President Donald Trump to do so. He also said the U.S., quote, gained no achievement after its attack on Iranian nuclear sites, but that it entered the war to save Israel after Tehran's missiles broke through Israel's multi-layered defense system. Later, Iran's foreign minister said in an interview on state TV that his country currently has no plan to meet with the United States, contradicting Trump's statement that the U.S. planned to have talks with Iran next week.
The U.S. to give a $300 million U.S. dollar funding to Gaza Humanitarian Foundation as aid center casualties continue.
The United States is to give $30 million in funding to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a U.S. and Israeli-backed body set up to distribute aid in Gaza. It's the first known direct U.S. funding for the group. The GHF, backed by armed US contractors and Israeli troops, has been operating in the Strip since the end of May following an 11-week aid blockade by Israel. On Tuesday, the UN said more than 400 Palestinians had been killed in recent weeks by the Israeli military while trying to collect food at the distribution sites. Well, let's speak to our Gaza correspondent, Rushdie Abu Alouf, who's in Cairo for us. Rushdie, just explain why we're seeing the level of casualties, according to the UN and other sources, at these distribution sites, because it's to do with how concentrated the crowds are around them, because there are just four main sites, aren't there?
Yeah, and all of them are in the south, not in the north, where half of the population exists. You know, in the south, they have four distribution centers, two in Rafah, one in Khan Yunis, and one in the middle camps. And it's all in an area under Israeli security control. So there is always the presence of Israeli troops around, not inside the centers. And we see every night thousands of people, they gather, they queue, and then they push towards the center in under darkness where the troops are there. And every night we get report about Israeli drones and tanks open fire on the ground. When we did ask the people, why you go, why you risk your life, they always say, because we have no other alternative. They prefer the old mechanism of food distributing to their doorstep, or at least to their neighborhoods. And the only organization capable of doing this is the UN agencies, which the Americans are not supporting, and they prefer this new Gaza humanitarian foundation.
And Rushdie, just very briefly, what is the hope that that situation may improve for Gazans in desperate need of aid with this huge injection of funds from the US?
Well, from Gaza point of view and Palestine, the people who work in this aid organization, $30 million is very little comparing to what is needed. Each truck costs about $500,000 dollars, and Gaza needs 400, 500 trucks every day. So the people were appreciating any money given to Gaza. But this $30 million is considered very little to what is Gaza really need.
Rushdie, thank you. That's our correspondent, Rushdie Abu Alouf, who's in Cairo, confirming there that $30 million in funding coming from the US is not enough, really. It barely touches the sides, but it is the first known direct US funding for the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The US Defense Secretary has called the recent strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities the most complex and secretive in military history, but he gave few new details about their impact. The Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has now acknowledged what he called serious damage from the strikes, saying an assessment was underway. But he disputed President Trump's assertion that there would be US-Iranian talks next week, saying no such plan had been set. Our chief international correspondent, Liz Doucette, is in the Iranian capital, Tehran. She's being allowed to report from there on condition that none of her coverage is used on the BBC's Persian service, which broadcasts to the people of Iran. This law from the authorities applies to all international media agencies operating in Iran. This is the report Liz said earlier.
Iran's state TV, the studio where the supreme leader's speeches are aired, but not today. Not after Israel attacked it. Forcing the newsreader to flee, her desk devoured by fire. Today, a fiery message of his own from the Ayatollah, said to have sheltered in a bunker during the war.
Iran, with its iron national resolve, rejects surrender. For a country like this, the idea of surrender is laughable to anyone who truly knows the Iranian nation.
For now, a fragile ceasefire. Tehran starts to look like itself. Its infamous traffic, its beautiful bazaars, residents slowly returning to a city they left to escape the bombs. But for some, it's still a battle, just to breathe. In this ward, there are civilians,
not soldiers. Murtaza shows us his scars. He was working in the transport department when the entrance to the notorious Evin prison was bombed.
Israel lies, saying they are only hitting military and nuclear sites. They hit a prison. I was there. I was hurt. And I'm amazed countries like England, France, the US and the UN don't condemn Israel.
The abandoned American embassy, a monument to Iran's troubled relationship with the West, accused of sponsoring terrorism, of trying to develop a nuclear bomb. Charges Tehran denies. But even inside this former embassy, a cafe serving iced Americanos. Amir tells me he wants to see a better relationship between America and Iran. So many Iranians do. But in this dark time, there's still not much light. The message in public was defiant. But this blackened studio symbolizes this dark moment in Iran. The most difficult and dangerous decisions confronting the supreme leader. The most fateful choices in his nearly 40 years in power. A new, uncertain chapter in an old, long-standing war. Lise Doucette, BBC News, Tehran.
Well, Lise joined us live from Tehran a short while ago.
And now we have come to the conclusion of today's On The Radar episode. Of course, do stay tuned for Onkonana Dingi, brought to you by David Chombe and other news, or other not really news anymore coming your way, but other analysis to actually keep you informed and engaged. That is the home run show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30. And after that, you can expect more. Now from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. And I wish you a wonderful, restful weekend ahead.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapongwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka. okukwetera oipindi kono konda doinawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nokumona oijamoyiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, omafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend,